First of all, a very blessed Easter to all of you. That was a rather warm reception, but that's okay. Very happy Easter. Jesus is risen, for goodness sake. When I was a child, I had this intriguing question that played in my mind often. Why did Jesus only appear to his apostles and on his close friends? See, there is a villainous side to me which makes me imagine that if I were Jesus, I would have shown up at Pilate's bedside when he was fast asleep and tickled him. I would have loved to see his face when I said, "Dude, you want to wash your hands now?" Or as the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, and those who had falsely accused gathered for worship, I would slip into the crowd and then slowly make my way and land up right in front. And I would have loved to see their faces as they saw me. And I would have said, "Now do you believe?" And then I would have vanished. Can you imagine that scene? If the post-resurrection scene was anything like I imagine, then the story of Jesus and the story of the church would be written very differently. Very differently. Many more people would have believed more easily in Jesus. I think my game plan makes sense. But the story as we know it, and as the gospel tells us, Jesus appeared only to a small group of followers. Why does Jesus do it that way? I'm going to attempt some answers, three answers, or at least the rationale behind my one answer. But in these answers, I also hope to find reasons to affirm the truth and the power of the resurrection. It's my hope to do that in this homily. The first point, I want to talk about the consistency in Jesus' message before and after the resurrection. Let me do that first. So if you think about it a little deeply, Jesus' message is the most consistent message we will ever hear. Before his tragic death, he told his hearers, he says, "God loved the world so much that he gave his only son." Again, it's a very common phrase we hear, but sometimes the power of those statements. Listen, the primary message is this, that God loved the world. God loved us. That's the primary message. Most people are afraid of God. They think that God is somebody who doesn't get us. But the primary message is God loved. How much? So much. God loved the world so much that he gave us Jesus. Jesus preached this message radically and without compromise throughout his ministry before death. Even the threat of a brutal death on the cross did not make him deviate from his primary message and mission. He never did. You can kill me, but I won't stop preaching that God loves the world. So yes, Jesus could have tickled Pilate and shocked him, and perhaps shocked his religious opponents to believe. But then, that would not be a display of God's love, would it be? That would be an expression of triumphalism. It's like Jesus snubbing them and saying, "Na na 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 na." That was not Jesus before his death, and that was not Jesus after his death. Before and after his death, Jesus' message and the way he delivered it remained consistent. Had Jesus changed the way he operates, his modus operandi, then humankind would not be free to love God. They would be compelled to believe in him. That's not freedom. If the way I would write the gospel and if I was Jesus appeared to the people, if that had been true, then you and I would be not present here because we loved God, but we would have been present here because we are cowed down by fear. In fact, Jesus' consistent mission of love becomes our greatest assurance that the Jesus who appeared before his death is the same who appeared after his death. So his consistent messages of love before and after his death is the greatest testimony to the resurrection. It's the same Jesus. In my second point, I want to talk about a little bit about a very specific term that I use, and I call it triumphalism. And my point here is to trade triumphalism for humility. Let me explain. Scripture does not spare any effort to let us know that Jesus is a Son of God. You're right. All the Gospels, the entire purpose of Scripture is to prove one thing. Jesus, the Son of God, came to save us, died, rose, and is now with God. Scripture does not spare any effort to try and convince its readers about this point. Yet what we do not find in the scriptures is a triumphalistic and an arrogant Jesus. You don't find that ever in scripture. In his lifetime, Jesus was not utterly helpless. Even on the cross, as he hung there with his hands nailed to the cross, he was not helpless. If Jesus wanted, because he was the Son of God, he could have exercised his authority and power. He could have done that, but he does not, and there is a reason. Jesus simply chose to function in direct contradiction to the brute force of the Romans and the oppression of the religious leaders. Jesus's ministry was a choice that he made. If Jesus wanted, as I said, he could have used power. But the hallmark of his ministry was not force, exercise of dominance and power. It was humility, service, availability, mercy, compassion. Does anyone argue with that? The hallmark of Jesus' ministry is not triumphalism. It's humility. And so do you think that Jesus has a message for us this Easter? I surely believe so. We give an example. How does it make you feel when Pope Francis opens up the Sistine Chapel to the homeless of Rome and has dinner with them? He said to them all, this is your home. Believe me, I don't have the courage to bring a lot of people here in this church and say, this is your home. I do not have that courage. But it makes me feel so warm about being Catholic these days. How does it make you feel when on Holy Thursday he celebrates Mass with the prisoners and washes their feet? I think Pope Francis is merely making a point about the church following its master, the master who showed us humility, service, availability, mercy, and compassion. And I believe that the church is at its best when it follows the master. I believe that Christians are at their best when they are like Jesus. Unfortunately, in one way or another, we are all victims of triumphalism. We always want to win. We hate to lose. We like to tell people that we are more powerful than you are, and you will lose and we will win. We're all victims of triumphalism. Catholics and Protestants over each other. Christians and Muslims in our time over each other. Liberals and conservative over each other. Black and white over each other. Citizens and immigrants over each other. Believers and atheists over each other. Defenders of religious freedom and its opponents over each other. Our military and their militaries over each other. Boy, don't let anybody mess with me. I know how to win. And yet we've seen thousands and thousands of years of triumphalism, and where has it got us? This Easter we are reminded that triumphalism is not Jesus' way. It simply is not. Easter is a victory of humility, of service, of availability, of mercy, of compassion. That is the risen Jesus. And here's my third point. In the Gospel of John, the resurrection appearances of Jesus are appearances of reconciliation. Jesus often appears to his disciples, and the message that he gives to them is, peace be with you. In one appearance, resurrection appearance, three times, Jesus says to the same group of people, his disciples, he says, peace be with you. Now, once again, if Jesus wanted, he could have accused his disciples of abandoning him. If I was risen from the dead, and if I had to meet my friends, you know, after 3 years of working with them, I would have looked at them and said, guys, where were you when I needed you? That's the first thing I would have said to them. But Jesus, he does not accuse the disciples of abandoning him. He does not get mad with Thomas for doubting him. He does not even fault Peter for betraying him. Jesus does none of that. Rather, because of his mission, which is a mission of humility and love and reconciliation, Jesus says to them, peace be with you. He begins right there, even though he had the reason to go otherwise. He stands there and begins a ministry of reconciliation. Peace be with you. And then, He says something very significant, which you and I need to hear. Jesus says, just as the Father sent me, I send you. Just as the Father sent me, I send you. Church of Jesus Christ, Immaculate Conception Parish and all its visitors here, I hear Christ saying the same things to us as we gather to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Just as the Father sent me, I sent you. In other words, as strong the temptation is for us to flaunt the resurrection of Jesus. Gosh, I so want to flaunt it. I so want to be triumphalistic about it. As high the temptation is, Easter is an invitation to shed triumphalism and to go out and continue the mission of reconciliation. You and I know the world needs it. I want to quote for you Pope John Paul II's words to the youth on the 16th World Youth Day a few years back. By the way, April 2nd was the 10th anniversary of his death, as many of you probably know. Hear what John Paul was saying to the young people, and perhaps it's a great message for us today. He says, the path outlined by God for his son is a path to be undertaken by the disciple who has decided to follow Jesus. You and I are here for a reason, right? we follow Jesus. And the Pope says, the path outlined by God for his son is the path to be undertaken by the disciple who has decided to follow Jesus. There are not two paths, but only one, the one trodden by the master. The disciple cannot invent a different way. We cannot be a different kind of Christian than what Jesus began. We just cannot be. That is not Christianity. That's not discipleship. The disciple cannot invent a different way. Jesus walks ahead of his followers and asks each one of us to do as he himself has done. So folks, Easter is an invitation, as our parish motto says, to think like Jesus, to talk like Jesus, and to act like Jesus. Easter is an invitation to be like Jesus, even if it seems that we are losing. Even when it seems that we are losing. Easter is an invitation to believe that it is in losing that we win. Will you be Easter? Will you be Easter? As we come to celebrate this Eucharist, I'm saying let's not do this in a sense of triumph and arrogance. Yes, Jesus is risen. We worship and acknowledge him in a spirit of humility and mercy and love. May that be the flag that we fly. We are an Easter people. We are a Jesus people. Let a humble Alleluia be our song. People of God said.